Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome one of our featured speakers at this year's Design Biz Retreat, marketing specialist Kate Grunke, better known as Kate the Socialite. In this episode, we discuss Kate's confident-based approach to marketing and visibility to create a more profitable and successful business. We also discuss back-end strategies for your website, refining your marketing voice, and how to attract your ideal clients. Before we dive into our conversation with Kate, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about it on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, on with our conversation with Kate the Socialite. Well, hello, Kate. Welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is going to be a great conversation because you specialize in marketing and business growth for home professionals, including interior designers. So everyone is going to be listening with bated breath to this podcast interview for all the good information that you're going to share. So before we dig into that, tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about your background and how you got into this business.
Yeah, well, I'll try to keep this as exciting as possible for everybody. And by exciting, I mean, I'm going to talk about Wisconsin now. So I am from Wisconsin. I still live in Wisconsin. And I get a lot of questions about, well, why are you calling yourself Kate the Socialite if you live in Wisconsin? And the truth is, I branded my business toward what my clients want to become, because my business is not really about me. It's about my clients. I didn't realize that for about the first 2 years of being in business. So when I first became an entrepreneur in 2014, I was fresh out of college. I was newly married. I had just moved. I mean, everything was so new and I was completely overwhelmed. I had very, very low confidence for a lot of reasons, but I think a lot of people, when they first start a business, their confidence just tanks. And that's something that I talk about a lot on my own podcast. I talk about it with my clients because we all suffer from it at some point. And I suffered with that low confidence for about 2 years. And it deeply impacted the way I marketed myself. In fact, I was terrible at marketing, absolutely awful. It was a huge waste of time and money for me. I didn't understand how a sales funnel worked. There was just so much that I did not know. And then about 2 years in, I took Marie Forleo's B School course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is $2,000 and I'm barely making like $500 a month right now. So this seems like a bit of a stretch. But the truth is, that was one of the best things I ever did for my business because it helped me hone in on my ideal client. And from that, everything started falling into place and growing, and I started seeing the results of my efforts. And then I realized, okay, I know how this marketing thing works right now. And I see the home industry as a really beautiful, exciting industry with so many creative people in it who are working hard, but they're having the same struggles that I used to have with marketing. How can I help just them? And now here we are today. I just work with people in the home industry, and we work on really at the heart of it, it's confidence, but at a practical level, that looks like we work on their marketing, their branding, their websites, just all those things to help them create a cohesive, strong online presence. So that is Socialite in a nutshell.
Cool. It's amazing how it really does all boil down to confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it really crazy. Does. Like we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to apply ourselves to learn the things to help our business grow. And it can be intimidating as a new business owner because there's so many other things that you need to focus on. Speaking from an interior design professional perspective, like I remember I was just so obsessed over knowing all the answers about design and providing the very best creative service that I could. And then everything else on the side, what I call noise, was just pressure, you know, until I learned how to kind of compartmentalize that and organize it. My gosh, it was overwhelming.
Yeah. Overwhelm is just the thing that really hinders people's creativity too, because what I've seen from a lot of the people that we work with in my agency, a lot of them do know how to be good marketers, but there's so much pressure and there's so much distraction that it makes them question and second guess everything that they just innately know to be true, whether about themselves or their businesses or just about how to be a good marketer. And if we can just, like you said, cut through all that noise and all that bullcrap, honestly, and just help people focus on their ideal client, their confidence just blossoms. And that's when you end up with a profitable, successful business.
Right. 100%. Well, I know that you cover a lot of things with your services and your program, you know, from website to social to sales funnel. But I know right now you're placing a real big emphasis on website and how it relates to the marketing of a creative business. Let's elaborate on that a little bit, because I feel, and I'm guilty of it myself, you know, I set up a wonderful website 3 years ago, and then I kind of stepped away from it, and I dabble here and there, and I update it as needed, but I feel like I'm neglecting it, and I feel like when I talk to other designers about their marketing efforts and their visibility efforts, their website tends to be the biggest thing that's being neglected.
Yes, yes. So the problem with a lot of websites in the home industry is exactly that. They're just left untouched for too long. And a design that looked good 3 or 5 or 10 years ago just doesn't look good anymore, or it's no longer relevant to that particular design firm. Maybe their focus has changed. But the other big problem is the SEO component of it. And that SEO component, some people think, okay, you've got to hire an SEO consultant to have them go work their voodoo magic. Like, we don't really know what's happening behind the scenes, but we just hope it's going to help us rank higher in Google. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not voodoo and it's not magic, and it's actually becoming a lot easier than it used to be. Good SEO on your website has to do with the words you use on your website, the file names of your images, the layout of your website, how fast it loads. And that's why when people approach us like, hey, can you just, you know, help me with my SEO? It's like, well, yes, but that really means a full out rewrite of everything and a full out redesign. Because then once you have that proper design and the proper verbiage, you're going to have good SEO. So we have people coming back to us and saying, I got new leads within 2 days of my website launching. It's like, well, okay, that's great, but that's not magic. It's because we just told Google all the things it wanted to know. So to answer your question, like, the big issue with websites in the home industry is there's just a misunderstanding around SEO and how to properly integrate it into your website.
You said something very important. You said that SEO is easier now. Thank God.
Yes.
Which kind of goes back to what I said earlier about that whole intimidation factor. Like, a few years ago, 5 years ago, when someone said SEO, it's like, oh my gosh, that just sounds so complicated. I don't even know where to start. And it's good to hear that it's become a little more simplified and maybe a little more user-friendly, because, I mean, we spend a lot of time on social media. If we just dedicated a fraction of that time to our website as well, don't you think we'd all be better off?
Yes, 120%. The issue with social media versus website is people tend not to look at them as one part of a bigger pie. They just look at social media like, oh, I've got to get my social media marketing up to speed. It's got to be fantastic. Or I've just got to look at the website. But they have to understand that there's a flow between those two. If you're going to have a good social presence, it's not going to help you at all if you do not have a good website presence. And if you were to spend less time on social, so let's say you weren't posting as much, but you spent more time on your website, maybe you wrote a new blog post every month, just one, or maybe twice a month. That would be enough to help boost your SEO so that you can get found on Google versus trying to hunt down people on social media to get them to like you and then hopefully click through to your website.
Right, right. I mean, no matter how much you post on social media, it's not going to enhance your visibility on Google. You have to be online within the site. And I will tell you, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I'll go to extreme measures to figure out something on Instagram. How do I change this? How do I, what's the right profile? What's the right wording for this? You know, how do you create those little story bubbles? But when it comes to the website, yeah, I'll have to, can I call someone for that? Like I do the same thing. So I know that a lot of designers struggle with that. It seems overwhelming, but I think it's so super important because like you said, the website, it's such, it's connected now to social media. It's an extension. They're an extension of each other.
Mm-hmm. And really your website is the mothership of your entire brand. And if the mothership is not functioning correctly, nothing is really going to in your marketing. Your marketing is going to feel disjointed. You're going to have leads falling through a trapdoor before they even get to your website. And that's why I talk about the sales funnel as being a path, but it's a path that we as business owners have to intentionally lay out step by step so that we make sure, okay, if we're going to focus on social media, let's know what to do with those people once they find us on social. Social is not the end all be all. We've got to make sure the website is ready to take those leads. And then when those leads get to your website, are you expecting them to just contact you right away? Because usually that doesn't happen. So what else are you going to do? How are you going to capture their information? Are you going to give them a valuable free offer? It better not be like free design work because, you know, a lot of people offer free design consults. And I'm like, please stop, for the love of all things profit. Stop it.
But, you know, a sales funnel, another intimidating word. Yeah. But it's really as simple as, and I would ask any designer this, that little pop-up on your website when I go to it and it says, join my email list. When I join that email list, what are you doing with that information? Like,
yes.
are we capturing it, but are we utilizing it? Are we utilizing it to the best of its ability to market our business? I wonder, I would ask every designer to ask themselves that question. If the answer is, I don't know, I would dig into it a little further.
Yeah, honestly, most of the designers that we speak with, especially when they first start working with us, you know, I mean, to be fair, they come to us because they know they need help with email marketing. And then I say, okay, so do you have an email list? And, you know, it's yes or it's no, or it's, well, I'll go put one together. And then have you ever sent out anything to your current list? No, I haven't. Or it's been about 6 years. And that is a real problem because when you're working really hard on social, to have a good presence and you're working hard on your website to have good SEO and to capture people, you capture them and then you just kind of like keep them hostage somewhere and you don't really like talk to them. You don't do anything with them. And it doesn't really matter to those people because they'll just continue living their life, but it matters to your business because there's a lot of money right there in that list. People don't understand, even if your mailing list is like a dozen people, two dozen people, you can make a substantial amount of money right there because if you can just be consistent about reaching out to them, even if they specifically don't hire you, what we are seeing is very common now. They will actually forward your email or your newsletter to someone else and that third party will end up hiring you.
Right, right. And I've heard that before. I will tell you, you know, signing up for an email list is risky because we're all inundated daily with so much digital communication. And every morning I spend time just deleting, taking myself off of email lists, wondering how I got on them. So when I take the time to actually type in my address and sign up for an email list, I want to get those emails. I'm kind of waiting for them.
Yes.
So that consistency, you know, that effort is important to people who actually enter their information. Like you said, they're telling you they want to hear from you. Now you have to reciprocate.
Yeah. And some designers they're going to be like, oh, well, I don't really have a mailing list that people have signed up for, but I do have a list of past clients, past leads. I've got, you know, friends and family members. And honestly, you can put those people on your mailing list, at least here in the US. I know that in Europe, there are a few different rules around that. But here in the US, you can put those people on your mailing list because they already have a connection with you. They've initiated contact with you. It's okay. And they can always unsubscribe if they need to. By law, you have to have an unsubscribe link at the end of every email, which, you know, MailChimp, Flowdesk, all those platforms have automatically. But you can really get a lot of your contacts just from your current database, you know, whether you use QuickBooks or MyDoma or whatever it is. So a lot of the designers have untapped potential. A lot of them already have mailing lists and they just don't realize it yet.
So for the designers that are listening right now, if they're like, okay, I think I fall into this category and I do feel like I'm acknowledging that I've neglected my website, so I'm going to commit some time to kind of digging into it and maybe freshening it up and showing it some love, what is the first thing you would tell designers to focus on?
So first, you need to be clear on your ideal client because that's going to impact how your website is laid out, what it says. It's going to impact your SEO. And I do get some pushback when I tell people you need to have an ideal client. You need to have a specialty because it makes them concerned that, well, if someone comes to my website and they don't fit into that category that I've created, am I going to lose the work? And the answer is no. You're just going to make yourself more specialized, able to charge higher rates and able to serve people at a higher level. So it's extremely important that you know who you're talking to on your website, because that carries through on your social media. Who are you talking to there? It carries through on your email list and your email marketing. Who are you talking to? If you're trying to just talk to the homeowner at large, you're not going to have anything to say. Right. But if you can think of that one particular client that you loved working with, you know exactly what you would say to them and how you would say it. So that's why I actually created a free SEO template that people can use. And maybe we could include a link in the show notes or something.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it would really help people because it just walks them through what to say on each page and each section of their website so that they can have that really organic SEO. Because the thing is, Google is becoming really intelligent and it understands conversational everyday speech. And that's why I say SEO is getting easier, because now Google is speaking our language versus us speaking Google's language.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. About time, right?
Yeah. That's a very good way of putting it.
So aside from updating the verbiage on your site, another big thing that, and this is something that designers and stagers in particular struggle with because they have such a large volume of photos, but they need to rename the image file names. Because if you get a photo from your photographer, you just had a shoot done, whatever, it looks beautiful, the file name is usually like the client's street address or just random numbers and letters. And
yeah,
Google, yeah.
I learned that on your podcast, actually. I just learned this and I'm like, I'm going to tell everyone that I know. This is incredible.
Right. So when Google looks at that, it just reads the file name. Google doesn't see images. So you have to put keywords in the file name. That way Google understands, oh, this is a picture of a modern white and navy kitchen remodel in Boston, Massachusetts. Got it. Okay, so that's how you tell Google.
Instead of some wacky 10-digit number that doesn't mean anything, you're just, it's missed opportunity.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, if there are designers listening who are like, oh, well, crap, I've got so many photos on my website, I don't know, am I supposed to go rename all of those? Honestly, if it's something you can have your admin do, fantastic. If you don't have an admin, then I would say update the file names of all the images on your site except for the portfolio. So go through your homepage, change all the file names, your about page, your services page, the how we work page. Go through all of that. And then when you add new photos to your portfolio, make sure those file names are changed before you upload them so that you're at least starting fresh to a certain degree without having to go back to the very first image you ever added to your website, because nobody has time for that.
Yeah, that could take some, but I will say this though. I mean, if you're scrappy and if you update your own website, if you have access to it, I say, you know, open a bottle of wine and get to work because, you know, that would be time well spent. I think.
It would. Think. It would.
But so going back to what you said just a minute ago, I agree with you 100% that it really is all about messaging. And my consulting services, they kind of run the gamut with my designer clients. So I just never know what they're going to throw at me, what they're struggling with. But I have helped designers with kind of their with branding and visibility strategies. And one of the things that we dig into a lot is that messaging on the website and who they're speaking to, and is that consistent across the board? Something that I find a lot of design professionals do is our messaging is like we're talking to each other. And yes, what we should be doing is we should be talking to our client. Now, my messaging, I am speaking to designers because that's my brand and this is my business and that's what I do. But if I was still designing, I would place an emphasis on really communicating to a consumer and something that they would relate to.
Yes. And that's why you really have to get in that ideal client's head. And also one thing I should mention is if we've got brand new designers who are listening, whether they're fresh out of design school or this is like a second career for them, you might not know right away who your ideal client is if you've never worked with a design client. But what you might know is your specialty service. So if you can't specialize in a certain type of human, specialize in a certain type of service, because it will still help you create a niche for yourself. It will still help you become known for something, but it will give you flexibility as far as who you're serving, because you just don't know yet. But you have to specialize in something, because trying to be all things to all people when it comes to interior design, really, it just doesn't work. And it's incredibly difficult to market.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's impossible. And you know what? That goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversation when you said that it's not about me. It's about the client. It's not about us. It is about the client.
Yeah, it has to be intentional. And that's why I will go off on my little rants on my own podcast about choosing a business name or a logo and how those things should not be dependent on what your favorite color is or on what business name you personally like. It all needs to be tailored to that ideal client, what's going to attract them, what will make sense for them, and how can you design a design firm that really gives the right type of emotion, because humans are very emotional beings. And even if you're only doing 5 projects a year because they're very big and that's just all you do in a year, you still have to speak directly to the emotion of whoever you want to work with, because that's how they make buying decisions. I don't care if their budget is $250,000 or $5 million, they're still going to make their decision to hire you based on how you make them feel, even before they sign on the dotted line with you.
Yeah, I say that all the time. They may not remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Yes, it's for everything. That's why marketing is a relationship. Now, there's marketing and then there's advertising. Advertising, there's no feeling involved. Advertising is just a tool, but marketing is kind of like a dating relationship. And the way you make the other person feel is huge.
Yeah, it's a much more personal experience. Well, Kate, I am super excited because you are going to be joining us in Palm Springs this October for Design Biz Retreat, which I cannot wait to share you with our group of designers that'll be in attendance. And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of great marketing topics.
I am so excited about the retreat. It's going to be the best 2 days ever. So thank you for having me on that.
Thank you for joining us. It's going to be great. It's a really awesome 2 days, and everyone that's in attendance is so into it. And I feel like we found the perfect balance. It's like the perfect destination, just enough time, just the right number of people, just the right number of information so that everyone can get there, be engaged, and leave with something tangible that they can apply to their business.
Yeah.
Kate, tell me about your ideal client. Let's talk about, you know, your ideal client. Who out there in the home professional industry is a perfect fit for you? And the reason I'm asking you to describe that is so that as people are listening, they can say, you know what, I totally fall into that category and I'm going to call Kate.
Definitely. So we work with designers, home stagers, professional organizers, and window treatment professionals. So what window treatment meaning, you might just actually sell hard window treatments, or you have a custom workroom, either of those. But when it comes to the actual type of business owner, aside from industry, we're also looking to help people who either they don't have a team yet, or they might have a small team and they might have an admin, but maybe their admin doesn't really understand marketing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a big team and their admin still doesn't understand marketing, and that's fine. You know, that admin has other things to take care of. That's where we come in as their full-fledged marketing team, but without the long-term commitment of that type of team or having that type of marketing employee. So we're working with people to set up entire sales funnels, websites, whether they want a custom site designed by us or one of our beautiful template sites, lead magnets and client guides, and that email marketing component that is just so powerful and so income producing. We're working with people who see these gaps in their business, in their marketing, and they have big dreams and they have real goals that they want to reach, but they just can't get there because they're doing what they're good at and they need someone else to come in and do the marketing piece that they're good at.
Oh my gosh. That's one thing I wish I would have learned 100 years ago, is to focus on what you're good at and rely on the people around you for the things that you're not good at, because no one person can do it all on their own. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, right. And it's interesting because some of the designers and stagers who start working with us, they come in carrying a certain load of guilt on their shoulders. Like, oh, I feel so bad that I can't handle all of this. I can't do all of this. And I tell them, I couldn't design my own house. I can't pick out a paint color to save my life. I can't come up with a floor plan. I can't come up with blueprints. I can't do any of that. When we go to the dentist, we don't feel bad that we can't, you know, take care of our own dental work.
Right.
But everyone has their specialty.
That's why we exist. That's why we're out there.
Yes. That's why everyone is different. That's why we welcome those diverse occupations.
For sure. For sure. Well, Kate, you know, we have signature questions here at the podcast. And so I would like to know, what would you say is the secret to your survival in this business?
Yeah. So I've been thinking about these signature questions of yours. And the secret to survival is staying in your own lane and not doing things just because your colleagues or your competitors are doing them. Because I've struggled with this, not so much recently, but especially in the earlier years of business, where I would see other people, I'm like, oh, she's doing that. I need to go do that too. Or they're doing this now. They launched that. Oh no, I better go do that. And all it did was distract me from serving my actual clients that I had right in front of me. And you just have to remember that just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean it's a good idea. I know they all told us this in high school, but it still applies to business. And just because it looks like it's working for someone else, you don't know if it's actually working for them. Nobody is as successful as they portray online, unfortunately. And the people who are truly successful are too busy being successful to talk about it. Right. So that's why we just have to stay in our own lanes and support our colleagues, of course, but don't compare, don't measure. They're on their journey. You stay on yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Rather than emulating someone else is just kind of, you know, be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be honest, like, since I have been able to carve out a spot for myself in this industry, I have had about 5 or 6 other agencies come behind me and start saying the same things I'm saying, offering the exact same things I'm offering. And that, like, it's fine, but it also concerns me because I'm still learning too. So if someone were to come along and try to copy me, which unfortunately some people are, it's like, well, okay, I guess we're all going to go down together then, because if I make one wrong move, you're going to make that too. And that's not a good idea.
It's such a good point. And I will say, you know, I am inspired by other people that do what I do. And there's a nice, you know, incredible circle of people that do what I do. But, you know, Luann Nigara does it her way. And she's already doing it. We don't need another one of those. You know, there's plenty of podcasters and business coaches and all of those things out there for the design community. And it's important that we all stay in our own lane. I find myself comparing, myself to other people as well, and wondering, should I be doing what they're doing? And I constantly have to remind myself, no, do what you came to the table to do.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, that other stuff is already out there, to your point. It's already out there.
Mm-hmm. And well, this is something that a lot of designers might recognize, but I know and I love and appreciate Sarah Lynn Brennan. She is one of the most inspiring interior designers out there. And she's aware of what I'm about to say, because she has talked to me about this. But we get a lot of requests from new designers. They're like, please make me look like Sarah Lynn Brennan. And I'm like, no. She is the only Sarah Lynn Brennan there is. So right. you need to go be yourself. And that is hard because they look up to her and they respect her so much, which is wonderful because mm-hmm. she does have a lot to teach them, but we are here to inspire, not copycat.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
That nobody is thinking about me or my business as much as I think they are. They're not judging, they're not worrying, they're not stressing, and it's okay to make mistakes and learn from them because nobody's going to remember those mistakes as much as we are going to remember those mistakes.
Oh my gosh, that could not be more true.
Mm-hmm. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves for really no reason at all.
We do. And Kate, how would you say that you pay it forward in, I don't know, in general? Like normally I ask designers, how do you pay it forward in the design community? How do you pay it forward in your realm, in your sphere?
So back in the earlier days of my business, which let's be real, it's not been that long. I've been in business for 7 years, but there were a handful of much more experienced entrepreneurial women in my life, who really did a lot to help me, and they did not have to. They didn't have to introduce me to the right people who introduced me to more of the right people. They didn't have to give me advice. They didn't have to guide me, but they did. And one was Luann Nagara. She had me on her podcast back when her podcast was still fairly new. The other one was Michelle Williams. She's a business coach for designers who are in the like $3 to $5 million range. And then another one, oh, you know what? Her name escapes me. But my point is, because I had those women so willing to turn around and say, here, let me help you. Yeah. That's what I am trying to do every single day in my business for people who are just getting started, or it's their second career, or honestly, they're just having a bad day. I have phone calls and emails from people that might already be a client, or they might not be. And they might just say like, no, my child just passed away. I just found out I have cancer again. I just found out that I have to completely shut down my business because of COVID or something like that. Sure. And just being there to listen. And then on the happier times, being like, hey, can I introduce you to this other person? Because I think you two should work together. And being able to be in that position now, it's very humbling. It's something that I'm excited about doing because those connections and those relationships are what grow businesses.
Completely. It feels so good to help people. I think while I was digging deep and trying to, and when I developed my current business model, which is only 3 years old, you know, one of the big questions I had to ask myself is, you know, how do you want to feel at the end of the day? And what do you want to do? What makes you feel good? And it honestly, it's about being of service. I mean, yes, I realize it's business and we need to make money, but not a single message goes unanswered. If someone can't afford to pay me my rate, I'm going to talk to them anyway. You just, you know, it's what I get out of bed for in the morning, and it feels good to be of service.
Yeah. I mean, and speaking for myself, this is my life's calling, and it's both my hobby and my profession. And I don't know if there are any listeners out there who happen to be familiar with the Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram type 3 with a type A personality. And I don't have tons of hobbies because running my business is my hobby. It's extremely fulfilling. I am so blessed to be able to do what I do every day. And yeah, there are so many times where I'm like, should I reply to every single message? Well, yes, I do. I can't help it. I do.
Can't help it. I can't help myself. I've got to take that Enneagram test. I've never taken it. And people in my circle have talked about it for years. And I've never done it.
You should.
I'm a little afraid.
No, there's no such thing as the wrong number, but it's very enlightening. I mean, even when it comes down to like interpersonal relationships, like I'm still not sure what my husband is. I think he's also a type 3, and that explains a lot. because then we're getting both happy and mad at each other for the same reasons. It's very confusing.
Right.
But the Enneagram is so enlightening and I do recommend it.
I'll just stick to astrology. Well, Kate, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast and for sharing your words of wisdom and for touching on marketing. I feel like we've barely scratched the surface, but I know that everyone listening can go to your website and learn so much more about your services and what you have to offer. They can come to Palm Springs in October, and hopefully you and I will collaborate more in the future, because I think you're an incredible resource to the design community, and I'm so glad to speak with you today.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure to be here. And shout out to all of Rick's listeners. I'm going to have him on my podcast. So you got to come over and support your guy, because he's got a lot to say and it's going to be good. I love having the perspective of someone who has been in the field and is now supporting people who are in the field. So thank you.
And I'll take that little Enneagram test between now and then, so we'll have okay. something to talk about.
you better. I'll ask you about it. Like, what's your number?
Kate, where can we find you online and on social so that we can learn more about you?
Yeah, so you all can head over to katethesocialite.com. That's where you're going to find my podcast, my marketing membership, my template shop, which just launched yesterday Woo-hoo! Morning. Woo-hoo, yes, I'm still very tired from all of that. yeah, katethesocialite.com, and I am so excited to connect with your listeners.
Thanks, Kate. It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, if you loved Kate and want more, then be sure to join us in Palm Springs for Design Biz Retreat this October 4th and 5th. Yes, it's just a few weeks away, but it's not too late to jump on board to hear more from Kate and the rest of our incredible featured speakers. I love talking website strategies with Kate. She's such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the complexities of web and social media presence and how they work together to boost your visibility. I'm so glad to hear that SEO has become more user-friendly. And how about that bomb she dropped about assigning descriptive names to your web images to optimize your relevance in Google searches? Love it. Is your messaging on point? Remember who your target audience or ideal client is and speak directly to them. Your messaging should be consistent across all platforms, from your website to social media to your email marketing. Now, I realize that marketing can be overwhelming, but remember that there are so many great resources out there, like Kate, who are committed to helping design professionals just like you and me find your voice, refine your messaging, and even help implement it for you. Thank you, Kate, for all of your tips and advice, and thank you for being of service to the design community. If you love this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.